You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Little Things. So go to Genesis chapter 28 with me. Let's read some scripture. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 1, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. So you're not marrying people outside of our faith. You're going to marry somebody that believes in God. And then he blesses him. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abram. So Isaac sent Jacob away. Now go down to verse 18. And a lot has gone on here, just a little bit more, but let me just show you what Jacob's thinking. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, and look at the simplicity of this vow. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. How simple is that? That he'll be with me, keep me in this way that I'm going, give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. Didn't ask for riches, anything else. Simple, simple little things. And the danger of prosperity is that we get so much, we forget to be grateful for the little. Just the simple stuff. The everyday stuff. And what is the everyday stuff? Food and clothing. And in the Old Testament, the prayer is, God be with me. In the New Testament, when you become a Christian, what happens? God is not just with you. He moves in. He lives in you and through you. So the relationship is extremely personal, because you have the God who created the universe living inside you. So simple prayer, simple vow that he makes. Go to Proverbs 30, a few pages to the right. And this is to the prosperity piece. Proverbs 30, verse 8. And here he says, remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So what are you asking for? Enough. He said, but what if he gives me more? God may not be giving you more for you to have more. He may be giving you more for you to be able to give more and to move it through. And I've got some friends who have more than more. And if you talk to somebody who's got their head screwed on with more, you realize pretty quick, you run out of stuff to buy. I mean, think about it. What are you going to go buy? If you had all the money in the world, you'd say, oh, I'd go do this and this and this. It becomes work to spend money, because you can get bored spending money. You say, oh, I'd like a try at that. I'm telling you, you can get bored spending money. And just people that go shopping, I know of a woman that has spent $250,000 in one store in this city, one department store, in a year. So what can you possibly be buying? Exactly. What do you possibly need? Exactly. So you say, don't give me more, God. Just give me the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you. Act like I don't even know you. Or lest I be poor and steal. So somewhere in the middle. Now, where we're headed here is something called contentment with just the little things. And are you okay with that, no matter what that is? Go to Matthew chapter 6. New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And he tells them what not to be like. Verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be like them. In other words, like the heathen. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. So the thing before the prayer is, he already knows what you need. So here's how you pray in light of that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice what all that's about. It's not about me. The whole first paragraph there, it's all about him. Our Father, meaning I'm not by myself, it's not my Father, it's our Father in heaven. You know where he is, who he is. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. I want your will to become here like it is in heaven. And how is God's will done in heaven? When God speaks in heaven, it happens. First time obedience. And we get to the place, he wants us praying that same thing. I want my life to look like what it's like in heaven, that when you speak, when your will is stated, that we respond to that and do that. So your kingdom come, the rule and reign of Christ, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the first thing out of the chute is what? Give us this day our daily bread. So the first thing for us is what? Bread, daily bread. You say, well, I don't even pray that anymore because I've got so much beyond that. Never stop asking for and being grateful for something as little and simple as daily bread. One of the reasons fasting is such a powerful thing is it causes you to be aware. Go read Isaiah 58. And part of that is that you are aware of being hungry and you take what you would have eaten and give it to the poor, someone who really is hungry. Because we forget what hunger is. People say, I'm not going to fast. I won't make it till midnight. You'll make it. We have a young man in our church who is from Rwanda, and his family told me that 90% of his family was exterminated, his extended family, in the Hutu-Tutsi, you know, conflict. And he says he remembers going for a week with one meal as a kid. And he said, well, wow, that's crazy. That's reality for a ton of people in the world. And we go, wow, I don't want to know anything about that. And how is our abundance contributing to our relationship with God? And where do you pull over and say, wait a minute, God, I've lost complete perspective, and I'm almost living like that Proverbs verse said, where it looks like I'm denying you. I don't even act like I know you by the way that I live, instead of acknowledging where everything that I have comes from, and it's from you. So give us this day our daily bread. Simple stuff. Then if you go on down in that passage, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And the answer is, by the way we live, it looks like that's all our lives are about, is what are we going to eat and what are we going to put on? And we tool everything pointing in that direction to make that happen instead of chasing after him and knowing if we chase after him, all this stuff's going to take care of itself. But we make our priority stuff, food, clothing, and way ridiculous beyond that, and not him. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And you can't add anything to your life by worrying. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, and let's go down to verse 10. And these are simple little principles, but are so very powerful. Luke 16:10 says this, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So you watch someone and you say, well, are they faithful in the little things? Because if they're faithful in the little things, then in what is least, then they'll be faithful also in what is much. Philippians chapter 4. Go there. Keep going to the right. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, if you get in the middle of those, you're close. Philippians chapter 4, go down to verse 10. This is Paul writing. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, taking care of his basic needs. Not that I speak in regard to need. So Paul says, I'm not saying that I have, there's a problem of some kind of need I have. For I have learned. Now, how do you learn something? You learn. It's a process. It's over time. And Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, what does it mean to be content? It means you say, okay, this is where I am, and this is what I've got. I'll thank him. I'll trust him. I'll praise him anyway. So if I got little, I'll go with that. If I've got a lot, and he literally says this, I know how to be abased, in other words, just down to basic necessities, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. The same gentleman I talked about in our church who lost so much of his family, one meal a week, just terrible situation, before Christmas, took him to dinner. Our whole family went to dinner and we took him with us. And he was about to go back to check on his mom who was dying in Rwanda. And so we go to dinner and he's sitting there eating a great meal. We take him to Walmart and said, what would your sisters? We tried to buy him some things to take back to his family. When he got in the car with all this stuff that he was going to take back to his family, all of a sudden, he's sitting next to me in the front seat. He erupts in this quiet little song. God loves me, oh, he takes care of you, always takes care of me. This African kind of, he knows my needs. He just started singing this little song. He was so jacked up, so completely overwhelmed, could not express his gratitude enough and started singing to God because he was so grateful for what he had experienced, what he had received. And part of the reason I invited him to dinner with my family, my new son-in-law, the whole bunch of us, I thought, you know what? This is my Christmas present to my family, to be in the presence of a man like this who understands what it is to be abased and what it is to abound. And where you go, no matter what, you worship him no matter what. If you have only what you need, food and clothing, you worship him the same as if you are abounding. So Paul, back to this, what did he say? I've learned in whatever state I am to be content, and I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You say, well, I'm not interested in that. It's part of the deal. You say, well, I don't mind having things I need. I don't want to suffer. Suffering is a part of the deal. And then this verse that gets jerked out of context a lot of times is right here in this context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is the context of that verse? I can be abased, have almost nothing, suffer need, or I can abound. But either way, I can do it either way through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one who gives me the strength to handle it when I don't have but the basics and the strength to handle it when I've got more than I need. And as it turns out, it is harder to abound and manage your life than it is to be abased and manage your life, because when you don't have much, that's all you got. But when he starts blessing, then what do? You've got to be paying attention. You've got to be listening. You've got to be tuned into him, because when he says, it's not your money, it's not your stuff, give it away. Here's how you should live, one of the ways. And there's a conversation in the scriptures, I think it's over in Luke, where actually some people come to be baptized by John, some publicans and some soldiers. They, what should we do? And one of the things he suggested, he says, if you got two coats and you meet someone who doesn't have a coat, give them your coat. So if you're wearing a coat and you're so attached to that coat, if you saw someone cold without a coat and the Holy Spirit said, give them your coat, you have another one, and you went, ooh, I like this coat, you're in trouble. Simple stuff like this. It's the little things where God tests us to see not what we have, but what has us. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Gosh, this is a great book. I highly recommend reading this book. It's amazing just what practical stuff is in here. Okay, just for the sake of time, 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 5, you get kind of this little, talks about useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Get away from those people. They think that being godly is a way to make money, like making money off of God or church or religion. Verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So look at this combination, godliness with contentment. That's great gain. You're trying to get rich that way. Where when people's observation of you is, he's a godly person and seems to be very content no matter where they are. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Does everybody understand that? I don't think we do. You didn't bring anything in. I'm yet to meet a baby born with jewelry. You know, oh my gosh, it's a redhead. And look at all that beautiful jewelry. They all come out butt naked, nothing. You brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having, look at this again, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So if that's what he says you're going to be content with, think about this. Why do you have maybe not have more than that yet? And if you do, God is still trying to get you to be grateful for these little things. we will be content, food and clothing. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You say, well, you're talking about money. No, I'm talking about contentment and being grateful for the little things and appreciating the little things. You say, but I want more. Why do you want more? And you say, well, if I had more, I could give more. Listen to me. If you're not giving any now, you'll give nothing when you have more. If you're not faithful in the little things, you will never be faithful in much. People can't give 10 bucks on 100 bucks. Oh, if I had $1 million, I'd give all this. You'd give nothing. You'd just tightwad, barely eke something out. Because if you did get $1 million, run the numbers. Half of it's gone in taxes. Half of it, boom, boom, boom. You may end up with 300 grand. And now you're going to write a $100,000 check and have 200,000 out of $1 million? You're not going to do it. Not going to happen. Unless you know where it came from in the first place. Well, I'm going to make this happen. I am going to be rich. And show me your verse for that. Literally, it says what? Command the, well, keep reading. There's more. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You say, but I'm rich. Is that a bad thing? It's not a bad thing if that's what God has blessed you with. But if you are content with where you are and he owns everything you have and you're simply a steward of it, you're good. It's when you start thinking you own your stuff. Now you're in trouble. Keep reading verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Go down a few verses. Verse 17. Command. So this is what Paul wrote to Timothy, and I am reading it to you and to me, but to us. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So if you're rich, and by the way, everyone's looking around the room going, oh yeah, I know who he's talking to. If you have more than food and clothing, I'm talking to you. Oh no, talk to that other guy because he's got way more than me. Most people under the sound of my voice in this room and beyond are crazy rich in global terms. If you woke up today and went into a closet and thought, what am I going to wear? What that revealed was options. Oh, well, that doesn't go with this. And what shoes am I going to put with this? And what coat? And what? And what? And all of a sudden, you're spending more time trying to decide what to wear than you were with God when you woke up in the first place. More clothes picking time than quiet time, because we have so many options. So command those who are rich. What? If you're rich, listen to me. I'm reading it. Do not be haughty. You are not better than anybody else because you have more. Pipe down. Haughty. I'm better. I'm more important. Do not be haughty and don't trust in uncertain riches. They can vanish on you. You go back through the decades and the market crashes and people that had set their lives up for the future, 401ks, retirement, they got the portfolio packed in, they're ready to go. And in a moment, it's gone. And they're trying to figure out where they're going back to work. Why? They trusted in uncertain riches that can evaporate on you. If you're not going to trust in uncertain riches, what does he say? But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. For whatever reason, I happen to know some of the most generous people you would ever meet in your whole life, and they make tons of money and have tons of money, but if you watch their life, it's pretty simple. And Claude, the old man that discipled me, looked at me one day, and he said, Richard, the closer you get to Jesus, the more simple your life will become. So you wake up, you have food to eat. Wow, I have something to put on. Wow. This same gentleman from Africa, man, I got one of these closets where I got options. And I went in that closet and found shirts that were a little bit too big or ties I hadn't worn in 30 years. you know, just stuff just hanging there, just doing nothing. Packed it all up, folded it up, and gave it to him to give to his pastor father. And he sent me message that when he gave all that stuff to his father was completely overwhelmed. And the son told his dad, who had served in Rwanda all these years, God has not forgotten about you, Daddy. It's just a bunch of my stuff I'm not wearing. Move your stuff, people. Move it. Circulate it. Give it to somebody who needs it. Get it gone. We are living in paralysis in our piles. We can't move. We're trapped by our stuff. Or you drive down the street. You're in a warm car, a warm coat. You see someone out on the side of the street and they don't have a coat. They're cold. You know they're cold. Well, I'm not giving my coat to that person because he's probably an alcoholic and he's a bum and he deserves to be out there. Oh, well, that sounds just like the Holy Spirit channeling through you. That's brilliant. Does the word haughty come to mind? Here's how you live. If the Holy Spirit says, pull over, give him the coat, give him the coat. This is not complicated. One more, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct, the way you live, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, now look at the context of what I'm about to read you. The context is, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with things you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That gets quoted all the time. What's the context? In being content with what you have. Because our fear is, oh my gosh, if I don't accumulate more, then what's going to happen? What if I get down the road and I don't have enough? That doesn't fit with, I will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't just say, I'll never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, meaning you're not going to go without the basics. He will not leave his offspring, his children, begging for food. You are going to have food to eat and clothes to wear. You say, but I don't have enough. Then you're not content. Tough sermon in America. But you know what? There's other places I can take you where there's extreme poverty, also a tough sermon. Because it talks about being content when you're abased as well, when you have nothing. And for some reason, we always want more than just God himself. More. He's not enough. I want him and more. Let me tell you something, folks. He is more. He's the definition of more. And when I am content and just okay, I just say, okay, Lord, I'm so grateful for what I have. Then I'm going to tell you what happens to me and where I have to start singing little songs like my friend Emmy. Because he shows up with some little thing and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I could ever ask or think. Stop chasing the worrisome stuff. Stop chasing the big stuff unless the big thing is him. We spend our lives chasing these big things, rich, all this stuff. Pay attention and be grateful for the simple things. Be content for these things. And he has a way of adding all that stuff.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Read it again, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So because he says that, then we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord's my helper. Whether anybody ever helps me again, he is my helper. He will show up. He will take care of me. And I got story after story after story. Silly little things. You think just little things where my Jesus shows up. And I know it's him. And I get overwhelmed by it. You say, oh, you seem to cry a lot. And you're very emotional. Man, if you ever figure out this God loves you and he's on your side and he's trying to take care of you and he just wants you to bask in his glory and in his goodness and worship him no matter what, your life will get so much easier you can't imagine. The angst, the anxiety, the stress, the push, the, oh, I got to do this or that. Doesn't mean you don't work. It just means you let him work in and through you and extraordinary things happen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.